Hello and welcome to the Stronach 5 Players Podcast. This is our show posting on Thursday, April 1st for the races of Friday, April 2nd. I predict it's going to be a pretty good day in the Stronach 5. A lot of eyes on the racing world. I used to take off this Friday back when I worked in a 9-to-5 job in book publishing because, you know, opening day of Keeneland, definitely something that gets the blood pumping, and how cool to have such a horse player friendly wager as the Stronach 5 to play along with the races at Keeneland on Friday. You've probably figured it out by now. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn bunker once again, back from nearly 2 weeks away. Feels good to be back in the office, rushing through today's show a little bit, not at the expense of giving you the quality info you've come to expect on these programs, but it's just one of those crazy days. New Yorkers will relate to this. I have to move the car at 8:30. It's parked right out in front because we just did the drop-off right in front of the house when we got back in late last night from the trip to Maine. Got that to deal with. And then I go straight from there to COVID shot number two. So getting very excited about that and how that's going to feel once that little piece of the puzzle is in the rear view mirror. I'm glad that my high blood pressure is good for something. I'll tell you that much. Joining us today, as he did last week, we were denied the opportunity to play the Stronach 5 last week as a result of the situation with racing at Laurel Park. They've given Laurel a week off this week, so we're going to be looking at races from Gulfstream and Santa Anita and Golden Gate. And to do it with you once again from In the Money Plus, we have Matt Vagvolgi. Matt, how are you today?
Pete, good to be back with you. It feels like we've done this recently, right?
No doubt about it. And you have kindly offered. I will be, you know, God willing, and the creek doesn't rise, on my way to Lexington tomorrow at the time that I usually post these tickets. So you have graciously agreed to take the reins. You'll post the final tickets up on the show page, and I imagine not too much trouble from there to tweet them out as well. I'll amplify all that stuff, but looking forward to your ticket construction on this sequence. But let's bang through this handicapping, my friend, and it all starts off with leg A at Gulfstream, 450 Eastern on the dirt, going six for these 6250 claimers with some restrictions. I'm going to let you kick this one off, Matt, as usual. Who do you like in here?
I was on the A line. I'm going to look at the 8-5 and the 3. I'm going to use the 1 and the 6 as Bs as well. Top pick, I'm going to go to the 8. I'm going to go to the outside with Frank Alone, 5-1 in the morning line. I ran against Simler last out, set the pace, got caught late. Actually grabbed the lead, got caught late, but second off a long layoff and showed speed last out. So that's why I always like to see that, especially off a long layoff. Gets out of the gate and runs. This horse held nicely. Comes back in 21 days. I just feel that outside trip could stalk the speed, and I think will be tough late. I think the 5 eye kicking you got to use. You know, I'm not in love with this horse. Should get a nice trip. You know, it's proven to pass horses, right? When you're looking at this level, you like to see horses that can pass late. So I think that fits the mold. You know, go back in February in Gulfstream, similar race fell into that realm. Also, we'll have the 3 could be a pace play, could just set the pace and go on with it. This will be the softest group in a year this horse has faced. And, you know, listen, you go back in 2020, similar style where they let this horse go in the front, never looked back and took it home. So 12-1 on the morning line would be nice for one fast, the 3. But those are my horses there, 8-5-3 on the A line and B's, 1 in the 6. The 1 I'm not in love with. I think there's too many chances, but fits well. The 6 fits that layoff line with a nice speed off the layoff, comes back in just 12 days. So 8-5-3 for the A's, 1-6 for the B's.
We're very similar in here, as is often the case on these shows. I just wanted to underline the 5 eye kicking a little bit. Felt like that was a wide trip last time on a day where ground loss seemed to be worth something. The race 2 back I thought was also maybe a little bit better than it looked. Could have probably, I'm guessing, run a faster final time, if not caught in a vice for a significant part of that race. This is a horse that fits on the bare form and looks a little better than the bare form. I also had a note, if you hadn't mentioned one fast, I was going to as one to use for all the same reasons that you noted. And I like your idea of the 8. I had it a little bit more of a B, but I could easily see upgrading to the A line based on the trip that one's going to get. And sometimes that first race off the layoff, they get a little keen. Maybe a little bit more settled trip stalking the three this time will work out for that runner. Let's move on to leg B. It is the third race at Santa Anita, 5:30 Eastern. Excuse me, 5:13 Eastern. Going a little too fast there for this one. We're on the dirt, going 6 furlongs. The bread and real bread and butter here, 10 dime claimers. I thought that you could get out with two, maybe. Maybe I'm making it too more simple than it is, but I was going to put the 7 Ricky B on top. Presumptive best speed in this spot, very competitive on the numbers. On figures, Blackstorm should probably be an A. I was tempted to get a little cheeky and maybe use as more of a B. Very, very obvious on numbers, but it's probably going to have to pass them all. I'm not quite sure there's enough pace. However, when one has numbers this strong, I'm not going to cut off my nose to spite my face. I definitely want some Blackstorm somewhere. Matt, how do you see it?
I agree. I think we're pretty much the same there on using the 7. Now, I will say this again. It's a stat that I don't use religiously or just kind of default towards it, but horses coming out of those races over at Low Sal, the quarter horse style races, do not do well at all when they transition back over to the races in the afternoon. Again, with that said, I think you're right. I think this horse is going to have speed. Speed's been holding nice, especially against this group. One horse I would throw in there is the 2 Afternoon Heat. I just thought was interesting with a lot of class relief today. I don't know what this horse is. Again, is the class relief going to help? I'm not sure, but I think when has run against similar has done very well and actually has a win going back to last year, but does have a win against a similar group. So I just felt, I don't know if that 8-1 is going to hold. It might, but I felt like that was a horse that I would add in there as well. But I do like the 7 setting the pace. The 2 I'd throw in there as well. And then I think Blackstorm, you just have to have for all the obvious reasons that you gave Pete.
Were you thinking just 3 A's, 7-2-5 in that order?
That's exactly what I have with a question mark next to it. That's something that I want to go back to and try to maybe decipher or separate those two. You know, and also too with the 1 Jan's Reserve of being involved. So this is a race I'll probably come back to, but I have them grouped right now as A's. Just I would say they're tough to decipher in my opinion.
As we mentioned before, you'll be posting your whatever your final answer is. That'll be considered in the tickets that will go up on the website tomorrow after we get those scratches. So 7-2-5 for now. I definitely agree with you. I nearly threw the 2 into the mix. I ultimately leaned against, but I can absolutely see that one running a bit better in this spot. Let's move on to leg C, Gulfstream Race 9, 5:22 Eastern. On the turf going 1 mile, 3 and up, maiden 50s. Matt, your turn to kick this off. We'll keep it with you.
I think I'll go with, as a lone A I have, as kind of, I think, one of the obvious horses, you know, looking at the morning line favorite, that's the 3, Blue Lou Boyle. It's had some interesting running lines, you know, some layoffs, been gelded. I like the race that this horse came back with, you know, second off. It'll be second off the layoff today, but nice off the layoff, ran very well, set the pace, actually looked like was home, got caught by a nose in the end there, going a mile and 16th on a good turf course, which has not been favorable to front end speed at Gulfstream as of late. So I felt that horse not only showed good speed out of the gate, but held on nicely. I just think wheeling back again in, you know, what, 51 days, again, not a short off that race, but at least breaks those layoff lines. So I'd say health wise looks to be good. Runs that same effort. I think this horse will get the nice trip, sitting off the pace, and will be tough to beat. As B's, I did have the 1, the 2, and the 4. I just felt that this race was kind of tough beyond that. I felt you can have a lot of horses to include here. You know, like a horse like the 4, Indoctrinate, you know, Rajiv stays aboard, you know, third time turf, right? I'm just looking for something different with this group. The only problem is had it his own way. The last 2 out set some pretty slow fractions. It's, you know, time for him agrees, you know, they're in blue, and got caught late. So again, good turf course, like I said, wasn't really favorable to the moisture there, but gets back to a mile, I think could be competitive. And then also I had the 2 I thought was interesting. Again, third off the layoff, has been competitive against these types, but I think we'll need to step up a bit. But yeah, so I had the three as a lone A, 1, 2, 4 as Bs. If I can find it in the affordability of the ticket, the two firsters, the 5 and the 7, I might try to get in on the C line. But for A's and B's, 3 as an A and the B, 1, 2, and 4. How'd you have it, Pete?
I would encourage you to try to figure out a way to work the 5-3 amigos into the mix here somewhere. Now, Brandon Walsh, not exactly known for excelling with first-time starters, but can win with one from time to time. And this one, just on pedigree and a little workout clue, I thought was includable, has been working with Queen Medeb, who is a horse who runs figures that would typically, you know, like low 80s kind of figures that would fit so well with this. And just having that note that this one worked well with an experienced runner, that's an angle that was taught by the Matisse brothers years ago that I always like to use. And I do think because of the Walsh stats and the sort of unfamiliar bloodlines, this one could be a really good price. I listed 3 amigos on top, being a little cheeky. I definitely agree that the 3 Blue Lou Boyle, the most likely winner, and I'm absolutely fine with having that one on the A line. But I would definitely encourage you to try to work in 3 amigos as a B if you can in this leg C. I thought you made the right points about the other ones in here, so we can move back out west to Santa Anita for race number 4, 5:44 Eastern, 6 furlongs on the turf, 4 and up, $32,000 claimers, down to 28. There were 3 runners I wanted to touch on in this spot. The 6, Psycho Dar, dropping off what I thought was a pretty tough trip, and the form I felt like was darkened a little bit further by recent dirt races that I feel like might not have been on the best surface. This one has old turf races to win this for sure. And again, just the overall form, maybe a little bit better than it looks. 6, Psycho Dar for me on top, but not the only one, because the 5, Castle, just a couple angles I talk about all the time, made that move into the hot pace. Some might say, oh, it was a perfect setup. And that's true, but it still matters how you distribute your energy. And I felt like Castle's energy was distributed inefficiently last time, attacking the hot pace too early. Smoother run through this time. And also, this time we're 2nd off a long layoff, an angle that I go back to time and time again, or not really an angle so much as a factor that I like to look at. And then the other one I'll mention, I think I was going to have more as a B, though I could upgrade accordingly, depending on your opinion, Matt. The 2, Ian Glass, I felt like has the numbers to fit and the speed to sit handy. 6 and 5 on the A line, the 2 as a B for me. How did you see it?
Again, similar. I had the 2 as a B as well, and with a question mark against it. I want to work that horse in, but the one horse that I would add, so just everything you said on the 5 is the top pick for me in this, you know, pretty obvious horse. But I do completely agree with the 6. I think the 6 gets the best trip out of all of these here. Just kind of sitting outside, you know, you want to be posted outside. I know you guys talk about that. You and Jonathan talk about that. Sprinting on the turf, you want to be posted to the outside and have that, that flexible speed to run them down late. I think the 6 fits perfectly there. The one horse I'll throw in, I just feel like, lately I have to throw in Rispoli at some point, you know, even mm-hmm. if he's riding my hound dog in a race, I got to throw him in. When you look at just on a statistical standpoint, Rispoli moves horses up. I think that, you know, also too on the switch, right? So I looked at some stats of switching over to jockey switch over to Rispoli on the turf, sprinting, and listen, the numbers are there. All right. So looking at 81 starts, 26% winners, and a positive 12% ROI. The key thing is digging through the charts. Rispoli on average for those 81 starts moved horses up on average 5 points on the equibased speed figure scale.
That's so amazing. That's a great stat.
So to me, that's the thing. Like, okay, yeah, the winners, that's fine. I just, again, I think talent wise, I think the horse fits. I think we'll be posted outside again. We'll have that stalking trip. But when you have a guy that moves horses up like this, and this is not off of, you know, no name jockeys, this is off of like Pratt too as well. So I just felt like that was a horse I wanted to include as well. I did have the 8 as a B in there. And again, it's strictly just Pratt being on fire, sprinting at Santa Anita. His numbers are off the charts as well. He's got 31% winners sprinting at Santa Anita, still with a positive ROI. Even as hot as he's been and the public has gravitated towards him, still has a positive 3% ROI. But I felt that stat was interesting with Rispoli moving horses up on the nine. Kitten's Cat will be drawing the nine hole sprinting here.
So 5-6-9 on the A line, 2-8 on the B line. Is that how it was in the end?
Yeah, you got it.
Yep. I love that Rispoli stat. That's incredible. I love that way of looking at the world. It sounds like you have to do some manual digging. It'd be great. And maybe that's good. Maybe that means you get more of an edge on stats where you have to do some manual digging. But it would be great if there was an opportunity to have one of these database programs automate that. I mean, it really means a lot more than win percentage and ROI to me when you're talking about a move like first time starter to second, first off the claim. Let me know. You know, you got to do it smart, especially with smaller samples. Maybe you have to cut out the top 5% and the worst 5%, or make that number, you know, cut out the first 10 and the worst 10, and then tell me how often they improve in figure terms. Just feels like a smarter way of looking at the world. And it's amazing that a jockey, everybody knows, you know, everybody knows that angle, and yet it's still productive. And when you look at all those stats in concert, I think you illustrated that pretty well. Very, very, very cool stuff there. I like that. Let's talk about our pay leg. We just got a couple of minutes left. Matt, how are we going to get paid?
I'm going to a spot that I don't necessarily like to do. A horse that I expect to be the favorite, doing something for the first time and also stretching out. But that's the one, Storm and Galileo. I feel like this horse gets Fry aboard. You know, again, that's exactly who I want in this type of controlling the pace. I just think it's out from the inside. There's really good stats, especially at Golden Gate, going a mile on the turf, setting that early pace. I think this horse gets out to it. Those two prior races on the synth, I thought we're against much better than what this horse will be facing today. He's got the pedigree for the turf. That's my top play, is the one. I did also have in there as well. I thought the eight was a little bit interesting, but again, I don't know what to expect from this horse. You look at it and you're saying, you gotta be kidding me, beating 27, beating 15, but against much better, right? So it's one of those questions, does the major class relief help here, or does this horse just can't run? So I want that horse into the mix at some point. I did also have the two and the three as Bs, but I did have a lone A with the one. I may make an adjustment on that, depending also on what your thoughts are here. I thought this was a difficult race, but I kept going back to the one as just being the controlling speed and with one of my favorite jocks over at Golden Gate aboard, I felt would be tough to run down. The two I like as well, JC Express, my man, Frank Alvarado, got me my biggest Golden Gate double that I've had since the bet came out last weekend. I think that horse fits as well. But again, I keep coming back to the one as my top play, my top A.
That makes sense to me that you'd also be attracted to a bet like the Golden Hour pick four. You know, it's kind of similar to the Stronach bet with the higher minimum and that low takeout, very player friendly. Glad to hear you got involved. And I do think JC Express makes all kinds of sense in this spot. Felt like was a little bit too close to the pace, presumably last time. Now, second start for the new barn, getting back onto the turf. And those recent turf races down south, yeah, I mean, they were not, they were well beaten. But this is a different game up here looking at this, these restricted three-year-old maiden claiming 20. If JC Express is going to succeed, this is a spot where I think it's going to happen. That was one I definitely wanted on the tickets. I like your pace point about Stormin' Galileo as well. I think includable on that basis. I was going to try to get out of here just going 2-1. But I like the idea. I don't – at this level, I don't mind the idea of trying to work in some more includes if that's possible. We are out of time, my friend. Thank you for your time this morning, and thank you for pinch hitting and putting these tickets together for me. I think it's going to be an upgrade over my usual. So I appreciate that. Just having seen what you're able to do, and you know, folks can check out much more from you. Going to have some free stuff on InTheMoneyPodcast.com, and you'll also be contributing to In The Money Plus. Folks interested in checking out more from Matt should go there, InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus. If you sign up tomorrow, this is not true, I guess, if you sign up today, but if you sign up tomorrow, April 2nd, for $10, you'll get all our coverage of Keeneland and also all of our Derby coverage, which I know, Matt, you'll be contributing to as well. So based on the warm success we had for the Breeders' Cup coverage, I think that's going to probably be the best deal all year, best time to sign up for In The Money Plus. So please check that out as well. Thank you again, Matt. Thanks to our friends at the Stronach Group, especially Steve Cook. Thanks to all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. Hit us up on Twitter. Matt, remind people real quick your Twitter handle.
At BlinkersOn22, where you can find me on Twitter. And Pete, go get that car. I know all too well how that works. I have run down the street in boxers getting the car on the other side of the road. So I know exactly what you're talking about, my man.
See, I put my shorts on before the show today, so I should be okay. That's going to do it. This show's been a production of In The Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kitchen. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your Stronach 5 photos.